good evening and welcome. Today is April 20th, and this is the Victory Lane podcast. Thank you for being here. Victory Lane, of course, is the vintage and historic news racing magazine published monthly in Palo Alto, California, bringing news of the vintage racing world to the entire world. We have readers in the United States and Europe and, of course, in Asia. So I have with me tonight Dan Davis, the publisher of the magazine. Good evening and welcome, Dan.
Well, it's a very timely call. I think we have some interesting things. One of the things I'm getting some calls on is driver schools, because some of the early driver schools after about February either have been canceled or rescheduled. And, of course, we've got a lot of enthusiastic would-be vintage racers who are saying, what do I do? What do I do? Currently, the information I'm getting, I believe Sovereign has rescheduled their school at Pacific Raceway to Memorial Day. That's a joint race with SCCA, but I believe they're scheduling the school. But we better check that before we say for sure. VRG has moved their Summit Point Jefferson 500 in school down to August, but they have not announced a date. And Corinthian down in Texas at Eagles Canyon, they have September 11, 12, and that's a regularly scheduled Brad Ballas school and vintage race. So the only other option people have is the only accredited vintage racing school that is currently Raptor Motorsports down in Wilcox, Arizona. Do you know of any others, Kelly?
Well, no, I don't. Although I can confirm that I talked to Andy Collins the other evening, and Andy did confirm what you're suggesting, which is the Sovereign Novice Day is going to be run in conjunction with the SCCA at that event.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, actually, and he was expecting, I think, somewhere, you know, around 10 or a dozen people. So they absolutely have space in that. If you're on the West Coast, especially in the Pacific Northwest, that'd be a great opportunity to get your feet wet. Sovereign, of course, is known for super friendly people.
And it's really important that would-be vintage racers do their best to try to go through a novice vintage racing school with their club in their area, because vintage racing, although people drive to win, they drive 8 tenths, they drive at 10 tenths occasionally, but it is a bit of a sportsman's game out there. And we try to take care of each other on track. It's not a win at all cost. And so the school not only teaches getting around the track successfully and proper lines and braking points and a little bit of racecraft, but they do teach the spirit of vintage racing. And the commercial schools currently don't have special vintage classes. So these schools are taught by vintage racers and good instructors. And as I said, Raptor Motorsports, the only commercial school that takes very selected students and does teach the vintage way.
Right. And Andy would confirm that. I mean, he made the point of saying that this was not a school per se. They weren't teaching you how to drive, rather that they were working with people that already knew how to drive to introduce them to the ways of vintage. So yeah, a great idea to get out there and participate with the people that you're going to race with in the car that you're going to race. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, and you know, talking about the schedules, you know, in getting out the May issue of Victory Lane, which is in the mail as we speak to subscribers, you know, the schedule changes are extensive. Almost everything in May has been changed or rescheduled or delayed, or it's we're trying to keep up with it and put it in the news on the web. And of course, we'll talk about it on a race by race basis on these podcasts. I was talking to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Museum officials today, And of course, just a few days ago, they have confirmed that the annual vintage Indy cars that always accompany the Indy 500 week will not be on the program for the August 500. There may or may not be a few laps with the honored racer on Saturday, but even that is up in the air. So things are changing daily.
Yeah, it's a difficult scene for a vintage Indy. Obviously, Pocono has gone the way of the dinosaur, so that event isn't going to happen. The Gateway was rescheduled. We don't know whether the vintage will run with that or not. And the Millers at Milwaukee event, that's not going to happen this year either. They're saying next year for that event. So hopefully we have some good news shortly here.
Well, you know, that's a good point. The officials at the Indy Museum were talking about there will be significant activity at the museum through the fall, late summer, and they are working on quite a bit of online and virtual events. So it's probably useful to check in to IndianapolisMotorSpeedwayMuseum.com, I believe is the right way. Anyway, it's a pretty easy website to find, and there's probably some good updates on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be your first gateway for information on vintage Indy cars. Hopefully, we have some information to present about them at least being on track in the short future. Everything okay there?
Yeah, it's busy around here. You know, we've got incoming email and the other phones are ringing because we're, of course, working on the June issue. But, you know, we're pretty proud of the May issue. One of the unique things is quite a report on a club racer goes to race in the Le Mans 24, 1984. Incredible story.
Cover story, no less.
I think it was. We had one or two events to report on, quite a few features, but I think before they put chicanes in the big 3.7 miles straightaway, the Mulsanne Straight, it's terrifying because he goes out first at night and the headlights are misaimed and he's doing 190 and none know where he's going.
Well, that's
he did survive.
Yes, right. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a story to present to you, which is a good thing. That was really fascinating. And of course, terrible that we don't have a slate of events, but it did give us space to run that story in its full unexpurgated version and to really let him have the chance to tell what's an experience I think a lot of us might think about, but very, very few of us have the opportunity to actually take up the reins on.
Of course, the one big event that is reported is the Mille Island Concours that was held in early March, the first full weekend, I believe. And of course, saluting Roger Penske and all of his great cars and all the races that they entered. But there was Scaglietti designed race cars. There were Lozier Indy cars from back in turn of the century. And so it was a good Amelia Island Concours. And of course, they always select both a Concours d'Elegance best of show and a Concours de Sport best of show. And that's well depicted in the May issue. So we had fun putting it together, and I hope our readers and subscribers enjoy it.
Yeah, certainly a great vicarious way to go to Amelia Island. I think every car fan would like to be there, but if you couldn't make it, you can certainly get the details in the May issue of Victory Lane magazine.
Well, let's hope next time we go on air, we will have some updates on many aspects of the whole vintage auto racing scene.
I look forward to talking to you in the near future, and thank you for your time this evening, Dan. Thanks a lot.
Have a good evening. Goodbye.
Good evening to you, too.